Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
If you try and figure out the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. If you deny the truth of the Trinity, you'll lose your soul.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we begin our in-depth look at the book of 1 Peter, Pastor shares with us a message based on the opening verses of chapter 1, helping us to realize how we can be hope-filled in a hurtful world.
Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, this is the start of the message that we will be in this book. This is the second of 12 messages that we'll be looking at out of 1 Peter. We're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll be jumping to chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So 1 Peter 1, verses 1 through 3, that's the passage we'll be in today. 1 Peter, again, is one of those general epistles that we are looking at as we've emphasized the area of making a difference in our world. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read together verse 1, 2, and 3, and then chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. That I think is a good summary statement for this book. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 3. Ready? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then let's jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Ready? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'd like to, if I may, with you, just do an overview or survey of this, because it'll help us to know that even for unsaved people, there's a big difference between their status and our status as people that are born again or know God. The reality is, the unsaved person, as one author states, is without hope. But the believer does have a, notice verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, a living hope. And it's not just a living hope because he's the living Savior, but he's also our lasting hope. He's the one that becomes that hope that we have and is found in Christ. But it's not only the hope is reserved for us, but the believer too is kept, it's guarded by that hope in Christ. Jot this outline down. I think it'd be just as a look ahead for the outline of the letter. He deals with four areas, pretty basic. They're elementary, but they're essential. He talks about the salvation of the believer, and we'll be looking at this in the next weeks ahead. He talks about very quickly and starts with it in chapter 1, the sanctification of the believer. Then he talks about the submission in chapter 2, 13. And who we submit to, and then ultimately talks about the suffering of the believer. It doesn't sound really exciting in the sense of being hope-filled, but it is. With that being understood, he gets to the opening of the whole letter, the audience of the letter, then he gets the opening. And this is the opening. This is what he says to them. What would you say to people if they are under pressure? What do you say to people if they're under pressure? Where Peter goes immediately with this, he calls them, notice verse 2, elect. In other words, we're God's chosen. We're God's choice. And he goes immediately to Peter giving us doctrinal footings to secure the Christian in a very rattled world. You know what he's saying? He's saying you're strangers in relationship to the earth, but you're elect in relationship to heaven. They are God's chosen people in that he had called them and they had responded. And it's an awesome thought to realize this is what Peter gives to them and indicating to them that God loves you enough that he chose you. And all the events going on, he knows about them. Don't get shook about them and rattled with all the events going on. It's going to be okay. God elected you. He chose you. And to expand that, he identifies three phrases that really are meant to be a footing in a very shaken world. And these are the three phrases that he uses to expand that idea of those being elect. This is what he says. And this Christ teaching meant to provide security and comfort in difficult times. And I'm afraid sometimes what happens is it brings strife and confusion in our times. What Peter meant just to say, oh man, you guys, I'm not just going to give you some platitudes. I'm going to give you some doctrine to help you know that you put your hope in this God. Don't be looking for all the transient, unhopeful statements that people could give to you. Your hope is something in above. And this is what he makes the statements. Notice these three phrases. First of all, he very simply says that it is by the foreknowledge. Notice in your Bible, the foreknowledge of who? God the Father. That's the first phrase. He says, through sanctification of the Spirit, that's the second phrase, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the third phrase. Now, do you notice three particular names in there? He says God is a what? A mother, a brother, a sister. He's what? Say with me, he is a? Now, why would he use the term father? Knowing that some people didn't have a father that Peter was writing to because they were killed. Oh, you have a father still. It's okay. You have a dad. And you have the Holy Spirit. And he also mentions who? Jesus Christ. It's the awesomeness of the truth of the Trinity to realize that we can pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Jot down Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians, I think it's a great reference point. Ephesians 2:18. This is how Paul said it. For through him, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. He says it again in 2 Corinthians 3:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He says it again in John 14. Verses 16 and 18, I, Christ, will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It was initiated by the Father. Salvation, that hope, initiated by him. It was planned by the Heavenly Father. But it was inspired by the Spirit of God. It was preserved. Notice the term, sanctified by the Spirit. You're set apart by the Spirit of God. But Jesus Christ's part he played in this, he implemented it. It was purchased by the sprinkling of his blood. Did you get that? It's awesome. It's awesome. You know why some people struggle with their assurance of salvation? They don't get this. You know why some religions have no security and no strength and no deep footings? Because they believe there are millions of God. Or they get hung up with trying to figure out the Trinity, a mystery. That old preacher, Dr. Rogers, who since gone be with the Lord, I think how he said it was, if you try and figure out the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. If you deny the truth of the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. You see, you have to understand what Peter was saying is, listen, I'm giving this truth to you. This is who your God is. You're elected by God the Father. He planned it from the foundations of the world. It wasn't some, we're on plan B here. This is exactly as God planned it. And I'm afraid many times what happens is when Peter gave this as a security blanket for that hurting believer to realize God loves you, three in one, it's so awesome. We've taken and become a straitjacket. We struggle with statements like the foreknowledge of God the Father. Paul used the same idea in Ephesians 1. He uses the same idea when he says in Ephesians 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. I mean, that's awesome. But he also says, you're redeemed through the blood of his Son. And he also says, and you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He says the same idea. I'm reading a book that's just a fictional book by Randy Alcorn called Deception. And Randy Alcorn is a Christian author, and he ties the gospel in with this fictional story about this detective. And in the midst of one of those pages, he talks about this unsaved character talking to a saved character, and this dialogue about, okay, if God's so God, who God is, this unsaved guy, this detective, he gets talking kind of smart aleck about, well, if God's God. I pulled out of this. He said, well, why is the world so bad? Why did God, for example, kill people? So many bad things. So this Christian says, well, listen, doesn't free choice demand the freedom to choose evil? Can real choices not have real consequences, good and bad? The guy says, well, it's inconsistent to say it's good for God to give us free choice and then say he shouldn't allow evil consequences from evil choices. You mean you can't have it both ways? If God wants to offer to make things okay in your life, but to do it, he had to take away all your ability to choose, would you want that? For him to make all the choices for you, then you'd be a robot. So how can you expect God to give us free choice and then fault him because he did? Many times bad things happen in our world, as an illustration. You have unbelievers that say, well, if God's so good, God's so loving, why did that happen? Well, the response is, why did it happen? Because God's just proving, he said things are going to get worse and worse, but in addition to that, he's given us free choice. And with free choice means consequences of those choices. So there are bad things that happen in our world, not because God isn't love, but because he's given us the freedom to choose and the consequences of some very poor choices of people. So in this particular book, he goes on, when one unsaved guy said, I think Christianity stinks. He said, I've looked at Christianity, and I don't like what I see. Wisely, this Christian says, well, you don't like love and grace and forgiveness and justice and feeding the hungry and caring for the sick? I mean, you know where hospitals come from? Christians. Atheists and agnostics, they're not behind prison reform. They're not the ones who got slavery outlawed. It was Christians. Wise statement. He went on to finish with this. He says, this guy says, well, if I were to judge Christ by some Christians, he'd look pretty bad. And the Christian says, well, yeah. So why don't you judge Christ by himself instead of others? Good point. Good point. I mean, why don't you just judge Christ by Christ himself, okay? That doesn't justify us as Christians that should live more like Christ. And so when Peter now is talking to these people, he's getting them into a place to realize that you have an awesome God that has not decided to explain himself on every point to us as finite believers and his children. So you know what that puts us in? I've got to trust. And this is why when you look at this whole passage, and particularly in 1 Peter 1, when he finishes this simple introductory statement, when he mentions that, then he says, look at your Bibles, into verse 2, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.